episode of Podcastonomics. This is Craig Hewitt, your host. Today we have a great guest on from the sales and marketing space, Bill Caskey. Bill is a co-host of the very popular and long-running Advanced Selling Podcast with his co-host Brian Neal. And Bill and Brian have a fantastic show all about sales. And as a sales guy myself, background in sales, I really appreciate all of the insights and the tips and strategies they give for listeners in each of their episodes. This is a very long-running podcast. Currently, they are at episode 296. And as you hear from Bill's insights in the show here today, just being around that long really has a lot of importance in the staying power of a podcast that consistently produces high-quality episodes, does a ton for your reputation online, and for the business underlying their podcast. So Bill and Brian have coaching and mentoring and products around sales and marketing that they sell to listeners of their podcasts and bring in new clients and new customers with almost every episode, as you'll hear in the show today. So, you know, talking about the business of podcasting and how podcasting is driving an underlying business, I think this is probably one of the clearest examples we'll see early on of customers directly being aware of their brand from the show that Bill and Brian put on and have been putting on for so long. So when we're thinking about, you know, new shows that we're putting out and how often we should produce shows and episodes, I think that the key here is consistency and reaching an audience in a unique way. So the message that Bill and Brian put out is very unique. It's very high quality. It's how sales should be taught, I think, as a salesperson myself. And as we get into the episode here, Bill shares a lot of his insights with not just podcasting related tips and tricks and things about how you should conduct business, but just business in general, how you should conduct yourself to win in the long term. So with that, welcome to the show, Bill Caskey.
Craig, glad to be with you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. And, you know, I think your show is a real good one to talk about with, you know, kind of our theme on this show of, you know, how does podcasting affect or drive business? Because you guys are a podcast about business and, you know, selling products and coaching and advice on business development for people and creating a lot of great content around it. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what your show is about and how you're using podcasting to kind of drive the business behind it?
Yeah, I will be glad to do that. I look at podcasting as kind of one of the best kept secrets of content marketing. And I think one of these days we'll go into the mall down the street and we'll say, who knows what a podcast is? And you'll have a lot of people raise their hands. Right now, not too many people would. Probably someday you'll go in and say, who has a podcast? And everybody will raise their hand. But for now, it's kind of still in its infancy, I believe. We've been doing the Advanced Selling Podcast for about 6 years. Brian Neal is my co-host. And we started it when we worked together. We were consultants and advisors together. Since then, we are not on the same corporate team anymore, but we still kept the podcast because we felt it had so much potential for new business for both of us. And it's really shown that it does. So we release one episode a week. It's about 12 to 15 minutes. We release it on Monday morning, the same day, time every week. And we had, over the last 3 or 4 months, our average download month is about 100,000. Now, that's for all of the library of 300 and some episodes. So it's not every week we get 100,000, but over the course of a month, 100,000 people will download a podcast that we've created. So we're really pleased with that. I think we're in the top 15 of iTunes business podcasts now, which we just learned about here a couple of weeks ago, which even surprised us. So we're very pleased. And, you know, the bottom line is, what are the results? And we've generated a lot of revenue from consulting, from coaching, from speaking. And we just have introduced some products lately that those are going very well too. So hopefully that's a good enough thumbnail to kind of get us started here.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's really the point I think a lot of people need to hear is podcasting is the best kept secret in content marketing probably. And I absolutely agree. I mean, I'm building a business around podcasting and only podcasting. You know, enough people are talking about Twitter ads and Facebook and blogging. Very few people are talking about podcasting for business. You're starting to see some shows like Unbounce, you know, the landing page provider having a podcast. Yep. HubSpot has a podcast now. And those guys, you know, they're on the forefront of it from a big business content marketing platform standpoint. But to see them getting into the space really, for me, kind of verifies my hunch that podcasting is probably where blogging was 5 years ago.
I agree.
You know, blogging 5 years ago, you were kind of a dork with a pocket protector if you were blogging for your business. And now a lot of people, myself included, look at blogging as just kind of mandatory. Like, if you don't have a corporate blog, you are missing out on a bunch of free leads, right? And
that's
podcasting
right.
is the same way.
That's right. And, you know, I've said for the last 3 or 4 years, once we got sold on the concept of podcasting, that really every business should have a podcast. I mean, if you talk, you know, I know Seth Godin and Chris Brogan and John Jantz and all these guys, these gurus are saying, look, you got your own channel. You don't need to rely on the media anymore. You have your own channel. You have a YouTube channel, perhaps. You can have a radio show, which I would consider a podcast. But I think the barrier to entry is still just high enough that someone in that organization has to figure it out. I'm meeting with a client next week who wants to use my studio, and they've been talking about podcasting for 5 years, and they finally came over to the studio last week, looked around, and I taught them how to do it, and they said, my God, this will take 15 minutes to learn. I said, yeah. And they said, you know, we thought it was more complicated, more complex, took a lot more calories. And so I would urge your listeners that, man, if you think you can, you can. And for a couple $100s, you can have a really good microphone and a really good sound system, and that is all you need. And then hire somebody like you to help advise and counsel and edit and package it up properly, and they are on their way. And I think they'd be surprised at how easy it is once you get started.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're spot on with the misinformation, or, you know, the poor perception of it being really difficult. I know when I started podcasting myself only about 7 months ago at this point, I was nervous. Oh my goodness, I was, you know, sweating and knees shaking when I did my first episode. But, you know, I did the hardest possible way. I did about a 15-minute monologue about myself and about my business. And to this day, that would be really hard for me to do. And something that's easier is to say, hey, you know, hey, Bill, you want to hop on a Skype call? Let's talk for 30 minutes, you know, about podcasting, which is something both of us know a ton about. That might be one other tip I'd give, you know, a brand new person is, you know, find out what your voice is,
Craig,
and your audience is, and just talk to them about shit you know a lot about already. And it's a breeze. It's just like having a cup of coffee with someone.
Craig, you sound remarkably calm here. You're not nervous at all today. Very, very well done, man. You're growing like crazy.
Yeah, I've grown a lot in the last 6 months, that's for sure.
Well, I think you're right, though. All kidding aside, I think the one-headed, what I would call the one-headed podcast, the hardest thing to do. And Brian and I, my co-host on the Advanced Selling Podcast, we've tried it occasionally when the other person's out of town. And it's like I've never been in front of a microphone before when I try to do it alone. Same with him. I'm getting ready to launch a new podcast for sales managers, sales leaders and sales managers. And I'm right now wrestling with that. Okay, do I go out and find a co-host? Do I try to do it myself and then do mainly an interview show similar to what you do, and where there is a back and forth and a sharing of ideas and you're not having to carry the whole load for 15 minutes? I like that. That's probably the direction I'm going to go. One-headed is really hard. I would encourage people I just think it's hard to listen to unless you're really good. You know, Adam Carolla, who's one of my, I'm a big fan of his. He has some of the largest podcasts, has a huge network and a big advertising budget. I heard the other day what he earns a year from podcasting, and you'd be shocked and staggered by it. But he even has people, and he could go 2 hours on his own with no problem, but he has people there. He has a cast of characters. And I think you got to take a lesson from a guy like that. He knows it would be way too difficult to do that on his own.
Yeah, yeah. Especially just to get started. I mean, that's a classic point, right? You've been doing it for 200 and however many episodes in 6 years, and you're even kind of balking at the prospect of doing a 15-minute show once a week by yourself.
That's right.
And you're a sales guy, so you know how to talk. I'm a sales guy, too, so I say that in jest. But, you know, some people looking at doing a technical podcast or, you know, a food podcast or something like that that might not have a ton of experience talking and crafting a message of their own would probably have a harder time.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I think you find somebody who you can do it with. And you know, one thing that Michael Hyatt, you know who Michael is?
Sure.
Michael does a nice job with his. He has somebody with him who's a co-host, but the co-host is really always interviewing him. So it preserves his dignity as the expert. And yet the co-host is actively involved in the conversation. They're not just purely interviewing, they're offering tips and advice themselves. But I like that model too, where if you're an expert in something, hire somebody to be your co-host, but have it positioned that you are the expert, show in and show out. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting model too, and worth taking a look at. I also think that there's a movement, you know, back in the original video days, back when YouTube just came about and we were all just throwing up crap on there and pixelated videos and the audio was awful. Now you can't do that. unless it's like a pet video or something. If you're going to create a video, you better have damn good audio, damn good video. You better have good lighting. You better have quick takes. You better have good music. You better have an intro. The game has been raised. And I think podcasting is about ready to hit that, where if you're just going to babble on for 20 minutes to me, that's not going to be nearly as interesting as if you have some music, bumper music, and some transitions and some special segments, an announcer that comes in and talks about how they can get a hold of you, whatever those things are, I think. And those things are all edit. That's edit-based stuff. It's really simple to do, but you got to think through that as you start, because for a little bit extra work, you can really make the production value extremely high.
Yeah, yeah. So that insider baseball a little bit, that's one of the things we're going to do with this show that's going to be different for me. I actually run two other kind of entrepreneurial shows with friends of mine. We kind of talk about business and entrepreneurship and online business and software and stuff. But for this podcast, since it's just me and a guest like you, I'm going to, you know, we're going to record 20 minutes today or 30 minutes today, come back and cut in from, you know, time to time to insert things that, you know, maybe I hadn't thought about to talk about now, or to reinforce a point and say, hey, you know, guys, think about this. And if, you know, what Bill said about that, you can do X, Y, and Z. You know, I think it'll be a neat way to, like you said, create a more dynamic show. And yeah, it will get to, I think, more off-air listener engagement, which I think is kind of the bridge that you have to cross.
Yes,
a lot of times with podcasting.
Yes,
you guys see it. I mean, you're talking about selling all the time on your show, but then you got to get people from your show to your webpage to buy your stuff or to schedule a consulting call. Can you talk, like, in a very positive way? You've been doing this long enough to see what works and what doesn't work. What works to really create top-notch off-air engagement with listeners of a podcast?
Well, we have a LinkedIn group that numbers about 4,000 people now. So that's been a big win. That's where we do a fair amount of communication to our listeners. We read emails from listeners. We're getting ready to launch a Voices of Listeners segment where people, instead of sending in their questions via email, they'll actually record it on audio on their iPhone and send in the voice memo. A little geeky here, but stay with me.
I like it.
And so then we'll play those actual recordings of people. So now when Craig Hewitt was on the Advanced Selling Podcast and his voice was on it, we answer his question, he might actually send that out to his LinkedIn group and say, hey, you got to check this out. I was on the Advanced Selling Podcast. So we think that that will be a little bit more engaging than just reading an email, an arbitrary or random email from somebody. So that's one thing. I think you're exactly right. I think you've got to do off-program engagement. I think LinkedIn is good at that. We don't answer every question that comes in, but we deal with a lot of them on the show, and we tell people when we're going to address it. And people always send in, hey, thanks so much. I felt like a celebrity. I mean, you don't realize how good it feels to be on a podcast, especially if it's a growing national global podcast. I mean, it's a stroke for people, and let's call it what it is. We all love to see our name in print and see our face in the paper, and this is kind of cousin of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think you're spot on. And I would venture a comment here that LinkedIn probably is a specific channel for your audience. And just because they're professionals and salespeople,
that's true.
It could be Facebook or Twitter or Slack,
yes,
or whatever you want to call it. LinkedIn just being specific to professionals.
Totally agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. You know, I think the crowdsourcing nature of what you're talking about with having listener contribution to a show is a good way of them having some ownership back in the show ultimately.
Yep.
And, you know, I've had, you know, some comments or some Twitter messages read on shows that I follow. And I just know I'm a connoisseur of podcasts. That's how I kind of got started in it. I listen to podcasts all the time. And the shows that I've had back and forth over email or Twitter with people on, and then they've read my questions or commented on them on their shows, man, I am that lifelong diehard fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that if they ever, you know, turn around and said, hey, we're launching a $199 course on building your email list or how to sell better, or how to create a marketing plan that doesn't suck, you bet your bottom might be first one in line.
Yeah. And it does take time. It does take time. But I think, you know, you mentioned something earlier I want to pick up on. You know, we brag about the 100,000. We think that's really cool, but you don't need 100,000. If you have 100 to 500 avid weekly consistent listeners who you are engaged with in some way, whether it's LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram or what, you have just a handful of people. Now, if you're Apple, you need more than a handful of people. But if you're the local, you know, consultant, insurance agent consultant, you have 500 avid listeners. I don't know who would listen to an insurance podcast, but I'm sure if you made it interesting enough, they would. You don't need thousands. You need hundreds.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we get so hung up in this, how many, how big, how massive. No, it's hard to keep in touch with 100,000 people. You can keep in touch with a few hundred, and that's where you're going to get the back end business anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is specific to a business podcast that is talking directly to a potential client or a potential referral. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, for this show, you know, selfishly, if I do this whole show and get three customers that come to me and say, wow, Craig knows a lot about podcasting because he's talked to 50 of the best podcasters in iTunes. I really trust him. I bet his team can do a good job of handling the production of my show. Then it's going to be a huge success. And all this work for three customers is really not that much. No. And it's also evergreen. So the three customers in the next 6 months will be another six the 6 months after that and another 12 the year after that because it's not going away.
No, no. That's a great point. Great point. Yeah. You know, you just, and you don't mind if I just keep.
No, this is having coffee. Yeah.
No, this is good. The opportunity here is I talked to a guy the other day who you would know who this is. He's with a podcast network and we're giving some very serious thought to going on board with a podcast network. And I was talking to him about radio. I said, what's the future of radio? And he knows a lot of people in radio because he was from that arena. He said, you know what radio people do? They think that everything is about the car dashboard. He said, I've got one better than the car dashboard. And he holds up his iPhone and says, it's this. You're not with the car dashboard all the time. You are with this all the time. So he said, radio people still look at this dashboard, you know, the in-car experience as the place where ears and money happens. He goes, they're just crazy and they will not see it any other way. And I think that, you know, if you were to start a radio station 10 years ago or even today, you're talking the millions of dollars. Start a podcast, maybe 250. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we miss that sometimes. We miss that the microchip has allowed us to do things that is still inconceivable to us and we don't even think about it. And we have to think about the microchip and what it's allowed us to do. And podcasting is just one of the beneficiaries of it. But you can literally have a global radio station in 30 minutes setting up on iTunes. Well, maybe a couple hours and a couple good shows. You are everywhere. Who wouldn't want to be everywhere giving your voice, giving your ideas and, you know, just ideas and consulting and counsel out to the world? And it's scary. I mean, what you can do in a short amount of time is just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. I like the term the democratization of information. And I think that's what it is in my eyes, at least, is I can share or you can share or Joe Blow down the street can share his information. And it's so easy and it's so fast and it gets out so quick that it gives everyone a chance. There's no golden spoon anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you have to take advantage of it. You cannot sit back and say, Craig and Bill and Brian, they can podcast, but you know, they've got a special gift and they've got this. And no, stop that. Just stop that thinking. That is limited thinking. Go out, get a $69 microphone. You know, you don't even need software. You've got it. If you've got a Mac or you've got a Dell, you've got it all there. And go talk about something that really inspires you and go to Libsyn and pay 10 bucks a month for a host and go to iTunes and sign up for free and boom, you're in business. But it does take some calories. You got to burn a little bit. But, oh, I know what I was going to say earlier is that don't you think, and I'll ask you this instead of making a statement, it'll be a question. Don't you think that podcasting has helped you message what your value is? Don't you think by talking about it each week, you've become more astute at communicating the true message of what Craig Hewitt does?
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. And to the point of you and I have this conversation and I have conversations like this with other podcasters for this show, but for my show where, you know, I have conversations kind of to my friends, and we talk about our businesses a lot. I mean, my message is Podcast Motor is podcast editing and production services for self-funded businesses. I mean, that's tight. That's concise. And like you're saying, there is zero chance that I would have the ability to relay that to someone so concisely if I hadn't talked through it for hours with someone that's engaged
with what I'm talking about.
And I'm accountable to the people that are listening. And we have, you know, thousands of listeners maybe, but they're holding me accountable too because I know they're going to listen next week and say, what's Craig up to? How's this? What's going on with the business? I think you're spot on that the messaging is much more concise and much more targeted. And I mean, I don't think we can niche down enough to be really impactful because it is getting more popular. And the more you can say, you know, the Advanced Selling Podcast is for this person trying to do this, so that they can achieve this, it's just going to be a home run because you're going to find those 100 people that say, it's the first show I'm listening to every week. And that's the goal, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely a goal. You know, Seth Godin talked about why he blogs. And I don't know if you've ever heard his interviews. He goes, I don't blog for anybody but me. And maybe that's a little bit of a stretch. But I do think his philosophy is I blog because I have something on my mind that I want to get in writing out of my head onto the paper. And the fact that I happen to publish it online is just kind of the last step in the process. But he said, I learn by blogging. I learn how to communicate. I even learn how I think myself from getting it on paper. And I think podcasting is the same thing. You say something once and you think, you listen to it and say, oh, I didn't sound very good. Let's try that again. And let's try it again. And let's try it again. And then the fifth time you get it, you're like, wow, that sounded pretty damn good. Then you release it. Don't release the other four. Just release the one that's good. And then I just think there's so much value in working through things verbally. You know, Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln was famous for calling people in when he had tough decisions to make. And I wrote on my blog about a guy named Leonard Swit that he called in, an old friend from Illinois when he was a lawyer in Illinois. And Leonard Swit made the trip to Washington, D.C. when Lincoln was thinking about the Emancipation Proclamation. And he was struggling with it. It was late at night, and Swit gets there, and he said, Lincoln talked for 5 hours straight. He said he didn't let me say a word. He came back in. He stepped out on the porch, came back in, and said, Mr. Swit, thanks for coming. You've helped me. I have my answer.
Yeah.
And Swit didn't say one thing, but it was all part of that working through things verbally. And I think that's a story that we all ought to keep in mind, that, you know, the more you do it, the better you get.
Yeah, yeah. As an aside, do you see that with your consulting work? That if someone's paying you money to listen, that's kind of all they need?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's the best kept secret in consulting and coaching mainly. Yeah. I mean, people do want, they want advice, but the less I work and the more they work, the better. And sometimes the sounding board, and again, you got to be careful. I'm not suggesting that people pay me a lot of money just to be a sounding board. But sometimes you don't get to the real issue until they've had a chance to go around the merry-go-round a few times. And then they finally reveal something and you say, ah, right there, man. Craig, you just said that. Tell me about that again. And then you say it again. And then I say, I think we found it. But I can't guess. And the first time around the merry-go-round, they won't get it. So I think it's a great secret of coaching. Is better coaching is when you're not working very hard, they're working hard. You're just asking the right questions and listening carefully to their answers.
Yeah, yeah. I think it probably applies to good podcasting if you run an interview type show also. And I heard the story of the original Toyota guys and his kind of five levels of why. And that was all he would do when they had a tough situation or someone was trying to get his advice on something. He would ask why five times, peel that onion back five times, and then you really get to the meat of the issue and the underlying concern that needs to be addressed. And yeah, in my coaching, my business coaching that I've been through, not as a coach, but as someone who goes for coaching, I mean, that's all I need is I want to talk to someone about my business that has 100% focus on me for that hour and is in tune enough to ask the questions that need to be asked that I might not think of or might not have the guts to ask myself, and allow me to uncover what needs to happen.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah. Neat. Yep. Neat. So let me ask you one last question. So 6 years and 260 episodes in, you know, what's the next, say, 18 months hold for podcasting, you think?
Well, one thing I think is it holds a remarkably improved production value. I think as people switch over from radio, they're used to things happening fast. They're used to, you know, you can do long form interviews, but you got to break it up somehow. And so I think production values will continue to go up. Now that will require people like you to help people with post show editing. So that should bode well for your business. You didn't coach me to say that, I might add.
No, and you're not being paid for this yet.
I'm not? What the hell? So that's one thing. I think we all have to improve as podcasters. I think that we owe it to our listeners to keep working on our own skills and not just go, oh, my, it's Tuesday morning, got to go in the studio and do another one. We've got to be thinking, okay, what did I hear on the Adam Carolla show today that I really liked? I listened to Craig Hewitt. What did he do that was really good? Oh, man, he had that interview and he patched it in. I think we've got to really work on our own skills. Of course, that's the business I'm in, is skill building. So I'm always preaching that to people. But if you do that every month and it gets better and better after 6 months, you've really got something special. And so I think added production value, work on your own skills. I think the interview podcasts are still strong. I think there will become a time where I keep hearing the same people. You know what I would say as a final note here is interview people that no one's ever heard of. You know, if you run across someone for your podcast that's really interesting, but they're not a national name, who cares? Interview them. You know, maybe you'll help catapult them into a national prominence, because there's a lot of people out there I would call, you know, B celebrities, B and C celebrities in certain niches that are very articulate, very funny, make great interviews. We don't always have to interview Seth Godin and, you know, John Jantz and Michael. We can find other people who are just as smart, maybe don't have the name recognition.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I interviewed a guy once, I won't even say because it's kind of embarrassing, but it was a national name. You would know him. He's written many books on leadership. And for the first 5 minutes before we started, he goes, well, what are you going to ask me? And I said, well, I'm going to talk about this book that you just wrote. He goes, what are you going to ask me in the book? And I said, well, I don't know. I've got four or five questions here, but I want to make it spontaneous. He goes, well, what pages are the questions on? And it just then occurred to me, he didn't write the book. He probably had a ghostwriter that wrote the book. And so he didn't own the copy. He didn't mentally own things. And I said, can't we just do an extemporaneous podcast? He goes, well, I'd kind of like to know. It was the worst interview. In fact, I never ran it. And this was a guy you would have loved to have had, but he was just, I don't know whether I caught him in an alcohol coma or what, but he was awful. So you don't need that. You need people who are engaging, who are like you, Craig, who can talk and carry on a conversation, can ask good questions, can be interesting. Those are the people you need for guests.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Bill. Well, I sure appreciate it. Can you tell folks where they can kind of learn more about the show and about what you guys are up to?
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks. AdvancedSellingPodcast.com. And that's our website. Of course, you can subscribe through iTunes. Podcasts will be on a network here soon, but I can't really talk about that just yet. But AdvancedSellingPodcast.com and all the information is there. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do so there. If you have a question for the show, you can do so there. By all means, go and take a look, and hopefully you can learn something from some of our minor success over the last few years and can help your audience.
Awesome. Bill, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Craig. Enjoyed it.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode with Bill Caskey from the Advanced Selling Podcast. I'd love to know what you guys think of the takeaway from this episode. You know, my takeaway, I try to have a single thing I take away from each episode. And for me, this episode was all about the staying power and the consistency of a predictable publishing schedule. A lot of times with podcasting, specifically because there are several steps that go along with the process, it's difficult to stay on a predictable and regular routine with putting out shows. But I think what Bill and Brian have done here is to put out a show on a regular basis and have been very consistent, regardless of things that come up in our lives and our business life around, you know, excuses that would be to miss an episode here or there. But the consistency with which they've put together shows is a big reason for their success. I think people start relying on you and your brand to provide them with the messaging that they look for every week or every couple days, depending on what your publishing schedule is. But I think that's the one thing I took away here is have a unique and established and clear voice and put that out on a regular basis. And you will find that one person or those few people that you're looking for, especially in a business podcast. You know, I think in a comedy or an entertainment podcast, you'd have to have tens of thousands of downloads every episode. But for a business podcast, kind of like this one, I might need 100 people to listen to the show, and it will be wildly successful. So keep that in mind. You want to have an audience of one that you're talking to, and one ends up being hundreds of people that will love everything you say. So don't be afraid to really niche down your focus and the voice that you are relaying in your show. And I think we will find more true fans that way than trying to appeal to the masses. So let me know what you think in the show notes. Head over to podcastdynamics.com and leave a note for this episode. Thanks so much for Bill for hopping on the show today. We'll see you guys next time.